Good day, ladies and gentlemen. It's a pleasure to welcome you on behalf of Europlai Industries Limited and SKP Securities to Europlai Industries Q4 FY24 and FY24 earnings webinar. We have with us Mr. Sudeep Chitlangia, Chairman, Mr. Akhilesh Chitlangia, MD and CEO, and Mr. Pawan Kumar Verma, CFO. This webinar is being recorded for compliance reasons, and during the discussion, there may be certain forward-looking statements which must be viewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. We'll have the opening remarks by Mr. Chitlangia, followed by a Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, Akhilesh.
Thank you, Naveen, and warm welcome and good afternoon to everyone. Thank you for attending our earnings webinar for FY24 and the quarter ended March 2024. Europlai has, over the years, built a strong brand in the industry and is recognized across the country for its high standard of quality, which has been maintained over the years. The company has been continuously working on expanding its market presence gradually over the last few years and will now focus on further consolidating the existing markets as well as entering into new markets. In the fourth quarter, the board of directors approved the infusion of rupees 43.9 crores of equity by way of preferential allotment of equity shares and warrants. Of this, rupees 28.9 crores approximately was received at the end of March against the preferential allotment of equity shares and 25% of the warrants that were issued. With this infusion, over the last 2 years, the company's balance sheet will be strengthened by over 72 crores of net worth infusion. This will allow us to rapidly scale the business, especially on our asset-light model, and in addition, allow us to procure material on better terms, thereby resulting in substantial margin improvement. On the business front, during Q4 FY24, Europlai has reported a revenue of rupees 84.46 crores, an increase of 0.2% from the same period last year. It is up by 5.8% from Q3 FY24. However, the business reported a loss after tax of rupees 1.23 crores for the quarter. For the year, revenue stood at 323.42 crores, up from 302.34 crores, a growth of 7%. PAT for the year stood at 1.01 crores as against 5.23 crores in the same period last year. The demand for our products was flat as reflected in our quarter-on-quarter revenue numbers. The overall business environment was quite subdued towards the end of the fourth quarter for multiple reasons, in particular the credit crunch witnessed in March due to the new MSME Act that had a significant impact on the retail side of the business. For the quarter, revenue from in-house manufacturing in Rajkot stood at 53.68 crores, down 6.1% on a year-on-year basis, but it was up by 12.8% on a quarter-on-quarter basis. Revenue from our contract manufacturing stood at 31.5 crores, a growth of 12.6% year-on-year, but down 4.1% quarter-on-quarter. For the year ended, revenue from in-house manufacturing stood at 195.88 crores, down 5.34% year-on-year, and revenue from contract manufacturing was up by 36.1%, ending at 126.8 crores. Our COGS compared to the previous quarter saw an increase, ending at 66.9% for the quarter as compared to 66.1% that was maintained over the previous quarters. This was largely due to sale of some slow-moving inventory, both in raw material as well as finished goods, at a significantly lower realization that in turn hurt our profitability. EBITDA margin for the fourth quarter stood at 2% as against 7.2% in Q4 FY23 and down from 3.9% in Q3 FY24. For the year ended, the EBITDA stood at 4% as against 5.9% in the same period last year. In addition to the decline in our cost of goods sold, gross profit margin, as explained earlier, we substantially increased our marketing spend in the fourth quarter. Our marketing spend in quarter four stood at 6.4% of sales as compared to 3.6% of sales in the previous 9 months. As a result, our annual average marketing spend stood at 4.3% of sales. This spend, though, was strategic in nature as we expect a strong return on our demands in the future as a result. On the product segmentation, sale of Duro range of products saw a flat return this year with only a 1% growth over previous year. And our foray into the mid-price market through our secondary brand Tower saw strong growth of over 40% for the year. To boost the sale of our premium products, after significant research, we had launched Duro Advantage Lifetime Guarantee with 9x safety on select premium products. This was rolled out throughout all markets across quarter four, and the initial response has been extremely positive from the trade. Therefore, we're expecting very strong growth in our premium segment product in the coming quarters. The launch of Duro Beyond Blueprints series covering the design philosophy and journey of leading us in India has significantly boosted the company's brand equity with the influencers. The podcast is available on the company's YouTube page, Duro TV, as well as on Spotify. I now request Mr. Pawan Verma, our CFO, to take you through some of our numbers.
Thank you, sir, and good afternoon to everyone. Let me take you through some of the key financials from the last quarters and the last years. For the quarter, our COGS stood at 66.9% as compared to 66.1% in the previous quarters. Same last quarter year, our COGS stood at 65.7%. For the year, COGS stood at 66.3% as compared to 64.8% in the previous year. Our employee cost stood at 10% of sales in the FY24 as compared to 9.5% in FY23. As told by our MD sir, the marketing spends for the year stood at 4.3% of the sales as compared to 4.1% of the sales in the FY23. Interest cost as a percentage of sales stood at 2.5% of sales as compared to 2.3% of sales. Our debtors days has stood at 39 days of sales as compared to 35 days during the previous year. Our inventories consumption has been up by 149 days as compared to 134 days in the previous year. Creditor days has been decreased to 109 days of consumption from 119 days in the previous quarter. As a result, the cash conversion cycle has been increased to 79 days in FY24 from 49 days in FY23. Thank you.
Thank you, Pawan. So FY24 was a challenging year for us on many fronts. However, with the latest infusion of capital into the business, we are extremely optimistic on the path ahead for us, both in terms of revenue growth as well as margin improvement. And this will be achieved through better working capital management. And with that, Naveen, if you can open the floor for some questions.
Thank you, Akhilesh and Pawan. Friends, we now open the floor for the Q&A session. Request you to raise your hand. We'll unmute you and take your question. Just wait for a bit for some questions to line up. Okay. Take the first question from Dilip Sahu. Dilip, please unmute yourself and go ahead.
Yeah. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. Two questions. You mentioned about the MSME Act and how it created difficulty. So can you just elaborate on, what is the impact of it to us versus our competitors? Is there going to be a differential impact to us versus our larger competitors? I mean, I'm just trying to figure out whether it's an even tilt or is it going to be particularly unhealthy for us?
Sure. So Mr. Sahu, for the micro and small enterprises, the way the act is, payments have to be cleared within 45 days of the date of invoice. Now, for the retail, our retailers, the industry is 75% unorganized and 25% belongs to the organized player. So the retailers, therefore, by that logic, do 75% of their business from micro and small enterprises. And they withheld payments to the larger organizations, including us, as well as, I believe, to many of our competitors. And therefore, they slowed down their procurement to meet their statutory liability towards the micro and small manufacturers. This was a one-time phenomena, I think, which has impacted our industry as well as, I the numbers that I've seen from the other industries as well that have come out. So this is a one-time impact. I don't think we are any better or worse off from our competition on this. It's just a one-time impact that happened towards the starting from the end of February and all the way through March.
Sure. Good. My second question is regarding Tower brand versus Duro brand.
Yeah.
You know, if we look at last almost almost 1 year, the Tower brand has been doing far more better compared to Duro brand in terms of percentage growth. Maybe it's because the base, I don't know. But in terms of qualitatives, without looking at the numbers, and looking at basically dealers and sales force, are they trying to, I'm just trying to understand how they view these two brands in terms of comfort to sell, or are they trying to kind of undercut one versus others? Or is there a swim lane between Tower brand guys and Duro guys? Because Duro, I think, I'm not taking into consideration the new launch that you have, is a little bit subdued, isn't it?
Yes. So brand Duro, so in our total revenue, 70% of it, 80% of it is coming from Duro and 20% now stands at Tower. So the base is smaller for Tower. And, you know, we have a inverted triangle in our company in the sense that normally the lower price product should have a bigger share in the market and the premium product tends to have a smaller share. And that's the reason why the uptake on Tower has been very strong. We only entered this segment 2-3 years ago. And that's why it's catching so much traction. It is a cause of concern that Duro should have organically still been growing at the industry rate or higher than the industry rate, because we have a lot of scope of growth in that segment as well. And to address that, we have done a relaunch of our product features and the type of guarantees that we are providing on the product to stay ahead of the competition. And that will now fuel the future growth for brand Duro. How we segment the two, Duro comes with largely a lifetime guarantee from insect infestation. Tower does not carry the type of guarantees that we provide on Duro. So there's a complete different product and brand differentiation that exists. And the price point is also quite far apart. Therefore, I don't see any cannibalization happening on this front. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, more I was trying to understand, if you give a sales guy two products, which is a premium product and difficult to sell, and one is a commodity product, or maybe, you know, commercially more price sensitive product, sales team tend to sell the which is easier to sell, right? I think,
yeah,
I'm coming from that perspective.
Right.
That are we giving a tool which is a self-destructive to us, and is better to grow at 7, 8, 10% Duro instead of growing at 14, 15, 16% combined?
While that's partially true, there are two trends that are happening, especially in the larger metro cities. People are not spending as much time on making material purchase decisions. They are giving it on turnkey basis to carpenters and contractors. Now, if that is the trend that is happening and we are witnessing that, or it's going to, you know, furniture manufacturers, then the furniture manufacturer chooses a material that gives them a certain amount of profit margin better than the other. And that is where Tower is allowing us to fight for market share in the space. As I said, I do not envisage any kind of cannibalization happening. This would have been a risk had there been any cannibalization, that Duro sales were being converted into Tower. I do not see that happening right now or anytime again in the near future.
Sure. So I have three more questions I can ask, or you can take somebody else.
Dilip, I request you to please rejoin the queue. We'll allow
I will take it later. Thanks.
Appreciate that. We take the next question from Pradeep Rawat. Pradeep, please unmute yourself and go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, you are loud and clear. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon and thank you for the opportunity. So I'm new to your company. So I have some small basic questions. So You said that you have an asset light model. So I would like to understand what is this asset light model? Can you please explain about it?
Sure. So, Pradeep, our main, Mr. Rawat, our main plant is in Rajkot, Gujarat, which is the company's owned and operated manufacturing unit. A couple of years ago, because we realized that the brand has a lot more strength than what we were manufacturing in-house, we tied up with selective contract manufacturers across India who manufacture largely the tower or the lower end segment product and some of our premium segment products on our behalf with our quality control parameters in check. And we've seen a very good return and acceptance of this model in the market. And therefore, our focus right now is to grow our revenue over the next few years through the contract light or the asset light model. So I hope that gives you an idea.
So, what percentage of revenue would be this from contract manufacturing?
Contract manufacturing currently is approximately 40% of our revenue.
So we are getting close to 120 crore of revenue is coming, 120, 150 crore of revenue is coming from contract manufacturing.
Just over 130 crores. Yes.
Yeah, and the remaining 170 crore is from our.
195 approximately is from our own plant.
Okay, so we have an asset turnover of 2.
I'll check on that number, but
Okay.
yeah.
And my other question is regarding the pricing. So, what kind of premium do we fetch over non-branded plywoods? Can you like explain on that?
Again, that would be very difficult to give an exact answer because even in the non-branded, there are multiple product segments and construction of material and quality of material that is sold. But typically, like-to-like product across the industries, brands tend to enjoy anywhere in the range of 18 to 25% premium over the non-branded segment.
Okay, and with respect to our margins, so we have pretty lower margin with respect to our peers. So, any reason, specific reason for that?
So, if you see a history of our company, last few years had been quite difficult if you go back 5, 6 years. And the strength of our balance sheet was quite weak. And if our creditor days were quite high, and if you're getting funded by your creditors, then there's always a cost to it. So, our cost of procurement were on the higher side. We didn't have sufficient working capital to grow. Therefore, overheads were higher than the competition because the revenues were not growing. And therefore, 2 years ago, 28 crores of net worth was infused in the company. And in addition, another 43.9 crores have been infused now. So, with this balance sheet correction, we have sufficient working capital as well as strengthen our balance sheet to reduce our cost of procurement going forward. And through this, we expect to see our margins improving in the medium to long term.
So, what kind of margin guidance would you give, like sustainable kind of margins?
I think at least a 2 to 3 percentage point improvement on our margins should be expected over the next 18 to 24 months.
6-7% kind of margins?
Yes, in that range.
So that would be like lower than our peers, in spite of improving.
I would still like to be a little conservative on that number. Our aim is to be at the benchmark of the industry, but we'll have to, I think probably a couple of quarters from now, I think how fast we can reach those numbers.
Okay. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pradeep. Friends, anyone wishing to ask a question, please raise your hand. We'll unmute you and take it. In the meanwhile, may I request Dilip Sahu to go ahead with his questions. Dilip, please
Can
unmute
you hear
yourself.
me? Can you hear me?
Yes, Dilip, please go
Yeah,
ahead.
Yeah. Basically, three questions. And one is regarding investment. You talked about, you know, our employee cost is a little bit elevated. I heard it. I'm assuming it is a little bit elevated because of investment. So considering North, you know, kind of dividing it into North and East, South, where is the investment going on in terms of our employees and sales incentives and advertisement?
So our employee cost stood at 10% of sales this year as compared to 9.5% approximately last year. The reason for the slight growth in the employee expenses was us not hitting our revenue estimates, and that was resulting because of certain working capital challenges that we faced through the year. With those now being resolved and getting further resolved in the near future, I think the employee cost expense will start coming down and getting rationalized as parallel to the industry average. We are strong in the northern part of the country, and that will always remain an area of focus for us. But we are also seeing a lot of growth and development happening in the south and west for us as a brand. And there will be some invested elevation for us in terms of expenses in those markets. But we will be moderating those, and you know, we have to play a very fine balance between doing too much investment and seeing the return on it. So we'll be keeping an eye on that. In terms of marketing spend, our marketing spend stood at 4.3% of sales. Our industry average is normally 3 to 3.3%. But we made a commitment a couple of years ago that we would be outspending to grow faster. And I think we will be cutting on that speed for the near future. I hope that answers.
Yeah, it does. It does. Thank you. You talked about 6 to 7% margin, which from the last answer I just heard. So does it mean that we will not grow much faster, that 25% we talked about in the past, or is it that you are, you know, thinking that and you're being a bit cautious? And what I'm saying is that we grew from, say, 200 to 300 crores in 1 year, and right. We kind of slowed down. And so it's a cash 22, right? Now that we have got enough of cash on hand, thanks to the equity raise, can we not expect a 20 plus percent kind of a growth? And does it not mean that we will have a better margin than 6.5, 7%?
So, well, we do want to grow at those pace, but I think we have to also be realistic with the type of competition and the economic conditions that are in the country. 2 years ago, we had what we call pent-up demand. Now, I think that is more or less gone away from, you know, now that pent-up demand doesn't exist. And therefore, I would say I think a growth in the mid-teens is something that we should be looking to achieve over the next 2 to 3 years consecutively. Also, with the infusion of capital, we're going to work on getting our raw material procurement on better terms. Both combined should see the improvement on margins. I just would like to be a little conservative at this point of time. And I think once we have those numbers up and running, we'll be a little bit more bullish in our future projections. But I think it's just better to be slightly on the more conservative side. That's how I am personally, bullish inside, but to the outer world, slightly conservative.
No, that's good. That's good. But just trying to, I'm not trying to push you. I'm just trying to just think together that so obviously, you know, as an investor, there could be two ideas I look at. One is that we are going moderately to 9, 10, 11%, but we are not really diluting equity and we are funding the whole growth through return on capital, which is good. So that is one option, which is a good option. And the other option is that we're looking at, okay, we have diluted twice in last 2 years, right? And luckily for us at a much higher version compared to the first dilution. But you know, the other one, then we are looking at say 20-25 kind of a growth, and we dilute, we grow, and then at a particular critical level, we just break free and say, okay, that's it, we have reached, and we will be not diluting another. They both the sides are good, but if we don't do either of the two, then there is a kind of a death of the middle, right?
No, yeah, we are going to avoid the death of the middle, Mr. South. To be honest, the idea is to grow faster than the industry, to grow, as I said, in the mid teens. The growth has to be sustainable. It has to also not, you know, what happens tends to happen. Rapid growth is credit in the market also tends to go haywire. So we have to be very conscious of that as well. And I think our aim is to grow in the mid-teens to high-teens segment for 3 consecutive years. And that combined with the improvement in our procurement, I think we can easily look over the next 2 to 3 years, reaching close to the double-digit EBITDA margin but it's going to take us a couple of years to get there because A, we need to scale rapidly and as well as grab market share. And that's going to come at a cost on employees front as well as margins and as well as marketing spend.
Good, good. So one can say that in next 4 to 5 years, we'll reach that where we are.
Yes. And if everything goes well, maybe slightly sooner, but yes, that's the time frame.
Great. And one last one is in terms of the ply versus non-ply debate, right? There's been enough, and you have very categorically talked about your preference to stick to the ply. But within ply, is there a plan to have value added? You had doors and stuff like that. Yeah. So how is that thing? I mean, are you really pursuing that aggressively? Furnitures and a lot of you know, mattresses company are buying furniture companies, etc. So there's a lot of activity happening there. Is that a kind of value add?
Okay, so I'm very clear, and I'll reiterate it for everyone else that's listening in. Plywood has been the preferred choice of product for most homeowners when it comes to their furniture. And a lot of carpenter contractors and furniture manufacturers that had moved to other substitute products have realized the benefit of using plywood in terms of its strength and durability. And I'm very, very confident that over the next 3-4 years, the plywood segment is going to grow quite robustly. Although we're starting from a much larger base, the other products such as MDF is a relatively new product, so the base is lower. So, you know, the percentage growth will always seem higher. I think plywood is in a sweet spot over the next for the next 5 to 6 years. So that's on the industry category, and I remain very bullish on this. Now, if you look at furniture manufacturing, etc., we are a component supplier to some of the biggest furniture manufacturers across India, and you know, we're focusing on that. But are we going to get directly into furniture manufacturing in the near future? No, that's not part of our plan, if that's what you are asking.
Not necessarily furniture, but like, housing products beyond doors, cabinets, something which are not very complicated. Like, you are not looking at a fashion and style, which is difficult, but something which is like,
That's not in the horizon for the next 18 to 24 months.
Great.
Yeah. Once the balance sheet strengthens and the company is self-generating enough cash flow, then we'll probably look at some kind of product diversification, but that's not on the horizon right now.
Yeah. Because one of your vehicles of sales, which is the consultants and the architects.
Yes.
Yeah, that is a vehicle which you leverage so highly. So that's where I was coming from. That is it not like a natural progression to give them something more than just plywood, which goes behind the, stuff. And that's what I was just trying to figure out.
It's in the near future, not anytime in the near future.
Yeah. Thanks, Akhilesh.
Thank you.
Really appreciate all the answers.
Thank you, Mr. Sahu.
Thank you, Dilip. Akhilesh, let's take a question on the Q&A board. It's from Tarun Rathi. Any plans to come up with eco-friendly ply like one coming up from Kitply? No harmful chemicals at all. Do you find that to be a game changer and premium ply?
All right. So Okay, so plywood is an eco-friendly product. It just is. Wood is one of the most sustainable products that exist. It just requires sun, soil, water, and in 8 to 10 years, you can regrow trees. Plywood in general is one of the most eco-friendly products that exist anywhere in the world. That is one. Second, with the growing health awareness, the formaldehyde emissions in plywood over the last 20, 25 years has been coming down substantially. And I think most large companies today are producing plywood which conform to nearly zero levels of harmful emissions. We got into that space in 2010 or 2011 when we came out with E1 standard of plywood. And now the industry in general for the larger players has been moving from E1 to E0. And I think that's true for nearly all large-scale organized manufacturing players. So I think that's become an industry standard norm that we all need to adhere by. So that's not truly going to be a big differentiator on the premium segment because that's becoming the base for the industry. I hope that answers the question.
Tarun, I hope your question is answered. In case not, request you to please raise your hand and we'll take it up. Pradeep Rawat has a follow-up question. Pradeep, please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity again. So I have one question regarding the industry capacity. So do you see any kind of situation where there is an oversupply in the industry and subsequently any increasing competitiveness in the industry?
Mr. Rawat, to answer that question, I think 40% of the industry is lying idle today. And one of the reasons why we went towards the contract manufacturing side rather than doing the capacity enhancement ourselves was to take advantage of this. We consume the industry's capacity. And so that's where the industry is today. Is there a lot of competition because of that? Yes, there is. But our industry is also dependent a lot on raw material costs. And that puts a challenge in terms of margins. But, that's the benefit of having a brand and a very well-recognized brand. A lot of those challenges by being a very established player in this industry kind of gets mitigated because of that. So, yes, a large part of the unutilized capacity is with the unorganized sector. So that's not really impacting us at the market brand level.
Yeah, you said about raw material pricing. So what kind of environment you are seeing with respect to raw material pricing and what kind of market would you see in the coming future?
So raw material costs have been going up. Timber prices in India have been going up. And as a result of that, the imported materials have become, again, viable in this country. And that's putting us in a good place, having a plant in the western part of the country near the ports. In terms of future of raw material, I think timber is just going to be a scarce commodity for at least another couple of years. And I think by 2025-26, we'll see some leveling off. Towards the end of 25-26, we'll see some leveling off on the raw material side. But it's a dynamically evolving situation, and it's not only dependent on our industry, it also depends on how demand for wood remains from other industries. But the next 1.5 years, you're going to see some inflationary challenges. And that's for sure.
Yes, sir. With respect to contract manufacturing that we do, so are we seeing any kind of challenge? Because some of our peer was doing similar kind of contract manufacturing and they were facing some issue with manufacturers. So are we facing some kind of issue like that?
No, we're not.
Okay. And with respect to our capacity, what is our capacity and utilization?
Our annual capacity in terms of revenue from Rajkot is approximately 265 to 270 crores. So we are at about 195. So we are at about 70% utilization at this point.
Yeah, with respect to volume, can you specify?
It will be similar, 70% utilization.
No, volume in terms of number, like what is...
I don't have that on me. I mean, I would not like to disclose that on me right now, but I think if I give you the revenue numbers, they should be comparable.
Okay. And with respect to our contract manufacturers, so do we have like something like utilization rate or is the...
That's again, very specific and I will not be able to answer that.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Pradeep.
Thank you.
Friends, anyone with a question, request you to please raise your hand and we'll take it up. My email ID and, okay, there's a question. Pradeep, do you have a follow-up question?
Yeah, so I was like, you said we are at 70% utilization and the contract manufacturing part we don't have it right now. So if ever we come to like 100% utilization, so what are we planning next to that to grow?
So it's going to take us time to get to that level of utilization. And then there is always debottlenecking that can happen within the existing plant. So, you know, then that bar always keeps shifting. And that's a question that we'll have to answer. I mean, we do have plans, but it's too early to speak about it. And something that we'll address probably 12 months from now, not at this point.
Okay. And another question I was having with regard to our capacity only. So you said we could be generating something around 260 to 270 crore at peak utilization.
Yes.
So if we assume 10% EBITDA margin, so we would be generating 26 to 27% of EBITDA on this capacity. 26 to 27 crore.
Sure. Your question being?
Okay, okay. That's all.
Okay.
Thank you, Pradeep. Friends, anyone with a question, request you to please raise your hand and we'll take it up. Since there are no further questions, I hand over the webinar to Akhilesh for his closing remarks. Akhilesh, please.
So thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us for the fourth quarter FY2024 and for the financial year 2024 earnings webinar. We believe in India's story and that there will be significant demand for home interiors in the near future. The strength of our brand gives us confidence that we will grow and play a large part in the growth story. For us, you know, this journey of growth has truly just begun a few years ago, and there's a long way to go. And we look forward to welcoming all of you at the next earning call. Thank you.
On behalf of all of us at SKP, thank you very much, Sudeep Ji, Akhilesh, and Paman, for taking time out to interact with the investors.
Thank you.
We look forward to hosting you again for the Q1 results. Thank you very much and have a lovely evening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Naveen.